This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. So today I want to talk about control. Gosh, everybody wants to be in control, don't they? But how much control can you actually exert? This is part of the issue in understanding our position, understanding our predicament, should I say. Because we want to have control from the perspective that we want to see to it that things don't go wrong. But yet, things are still going wrong. And we want to have control such that we don't have hassles and we have influence over others. But still, there's a lot of people that are independent of us. So the game is, where does the control begin and end? Because it's important to understand what degree of influence you have over your life and what degree of impact you can have. So the Vedic literature, well, actually the Vedic literature is intense in what it gives you for understanding of our control levels. In relationship to one another, there is a usually friendly competition. But then again, it becomes aggressive too. That's why we have wars. That's why we have governments and armies and police, etc. Because the conflict of interest, the conflict of position and opinion can become quite difficult, radical between one or two groups. Or individuals, really. So why is that? It's said in the Vedic literature that whenever men gather, there will be disagreement. That's just the nature of the situation, particularly in this age. And we find that the people are having difficulty in maintaining, and this happens in so many circles, maintaining control, maintaining composure, maintaining perspective. So this control concept is a very limited structure, and we have constrictions upon us as the ability of our senses, our education, the control of our mind, the control of our and depth of our intelligence. These all form a type of control. Just as you see, a child is unable to do many things an adult can. And similarly, there are things that are kept from children, so they have time to develop and be able to cope with certain subjects. But when it comes down to the real crux of things, are you able to make a difference, change your life or the world around you? To a degree, of course you can. And to another degree, you have a limited capacity. And part of the human form of life is understanding the limitations in proper perspective, because we have a variety of inputs telling us different perspectives, different levels of control that you're capable of. Now, like, you could go run a red light. You have control. You can run the car through that red light. Psh, do it. But if someone stops you, the policeman stops you, you don't have control to tell him, don't write that ticket. You aren't that, don't have that much control. Similarly, we have a rainy day. Oh, I wanted a beautiful day. We're having a parade. No, it's rainy day. You can't change that. And there's a variety of levels going up that we are not superior to nature. It's the other way around. So I think everyone kind of has the attitude, well, gee, I hope nature's kind to me today. Or I hope that none of my bad karma comes back on me today. I've got, you know, I want to get through this one pretty smooth. But then again, things can go west, and you have very little you can do about it. You have to tolerate, you have to compensate, you have to adjust, you have to endeavor. Because we're not in a dominant position. Now, we can look the other way and see that from our perspective, let's say down, to over the lower species of life, yes, we have significant control, life and death control. We have life and death control over domestic animals, plants, fish, insects. We have a dominant control over all of those. They're beneath us. So you would think that man would be cautious in consideration, going, well, wait a minute. I'm looking to have any forces superior to me. I'd like them to be benevolent and forgiving upon me. So the only intelligent thing to do is to reflect that same attitude and position to those that you are dominant over. But man isn't doing that. Everybody's getting angry all the time. Everybody's fussing and fighting. Everybody is killing and eating all the animals. Everyone is destroying, tearing out trees everywhere. I want to put a new fence in. Well, I can work around those trees. Or just, oh, no, cut them all down. Doesn't matter. Just cut them all down, kill all those trees, and we'll put the fence in. We'll plant new ones next year. 20 years later, the trees are back, providing you shelter, shade, oxygen, etc. But the people are short-sighted, and they're not thinking about these things. You come across a bug instead of, oh, free him. He's caught inside the windscreen, inside the car. He's trying to fly, and he can't get through. So you usher the bug out. Another person comes by, squish it, kill it. There, done. Problem's over. So these things, these actions, they have an impact on your future life. If you're the kind of person that chooses to get the bug out freely, get him along, or get the fence put in without taking the trees out, you can see that you're earning a better life in return. And the man that's cutting down the trees and squishing the bugs and not caring about any of these things, he's not earning a better future. And this law of karma is a rigid law. There is no negotiation. If you kill the bug on the windscreen, that's that. If you free the bug on the windscreen, that's another thing. So we're in the same situation where we're contaminating the planet. And the planet's going, you should stop that. But she's not killing us. Now, there are instances nature takes a good run and cleans out a lot of different people. And you can make the sense of that now. Because they must have collectively and over a period of time and in their own way and under their own circumstances made such decisions that is justified, is a justifiable result for their accumulative actions. So analysis needs to be done as to what is proper action and what frees you from karmic. What is inaction, what is action, and what is free from karmic reaction. These are categories that one needs to understand if he's going to actually make the best use, make a perfection of his human form of life. So we're very intolerant. Generally speaking, everyone is critical. Everyone is angry. Everyone is short-tempered. Everyone would kill the bug, not get the bug out. Too much of that has taken over. And it's caused by a bad association. It's caused by impious actions. It's caused by improper mentality. It's caused by improper or incomplete education. And we have all of those problems in our human society. So, therefore, we have so many downstream concomitant factors that are going wrong. And everybody's stopping and looking at it and saying, oh, that's too bad. I wish that wasn't happening. Or, God, I don't want that to happen. But they're not educated to know that their actions can impact these things happening or not happening. Just like we're facing the globe, the planet is facing food shortages. Yet people are still not planting fruit trees. They're planting decorative trees. People aren't considering that they should take some time and grow food, grow their own food. They're not thinking about these things. They're too concerned with the disruption to their enjoyment factor. But what enjoyment can you have when you're hungry? And it's stated from the United Nations all of the governments, the G6, the G8, the G12, the G-Wiz, they're all stating that we're facing a food shortage. Serious global food shortage over the next couple of years. It will be here, beyond a doubt, within the next couple of years. So where do you stand? What is your contribution to the eating equation? Actually, you're a negative contribution. You're an eater. If I say, okay, everybody gets one meal a day, who's going to say, yay? Everybody's going to say, oh, you're kidding. Okay, everybody else, but not me. I'm sure that's what you meant. No. The planet, the human family, is facing global food shortage. And the food that we're getting now is already so badly contaminated, it's unbelievable. The contamination in processed foods is actually shortening the lifespans of the humans on the planet right now. Right now. I read an article this morning about a soccer player who died of a heart attack on the field from drinking sport drinks that were so high in aspartame that it actually poisoned him. Yet aspartame is an artificial sweetener, and it's in so many food products. Oh, so many. And you're not watching to see that you're not ingesting those. But you should be. The same thing with meat. Meat is such a dangerous food now. The Vedic literature actually says that true humans are not to eat meat. It is a contaminating food source. It's an emergency food only. It's not meant for the human form of life. The human form of life is meant for self-realization. And meat eating frustrates that. And yet we see the populace has been raised since the high chair to eat animals, to eat meat. And yet the meat is so contaminated now. I read an article about the Codex Alimentarius Act that's going through here in New Zealand right now, in Parliament, now. And they're trying to make it that all food has to be treated with clinical antibiotics before it goes to the human food chain. What a crock that is. Antibiotics is very wrong. The superbugs have been created because people take too many antibiotics. And now they want to put it in the food they get. They don't even know it, and they'll get more accumulation of antibiotics in their system. It's amazing. The people don't realize that water bottles bend your gender genes in your body. You don't realize that. Makes females male and makes males female. Well, what a mess. We have so many foods that are contaminated and that we shouldn't be eating. If we want to develop our consciousness, if we want to understand this situation of what is right and what is wrong, and how do I control my future, and how do I make a positive contribution, what is my level of involvement here? So these things are vitally important to be understood, because it's one system. Cause and effect. Action, reaction. Now, this is impacting everyone. If everybody thinks it's okay to kill and eat chickens, you'd see billions and billions and billions slaughtered every week. And we do. What is the karmic reaction for the human civilization for this slaughtering when it isn't necessary? We should be propagating. We should be growing food, cultivating. But we're not. The youth are sitting in front of screens. The older people are sitting there on the deck with wine. And the people in between wish they were one of the other groups. But nobody's being responsible to go, wait a minute, the planet needs to have more food for our human family and our animal family. Well, we're not going to get there with the human family eating the animal family. It's a contaminating food now. The things they put in growth hormones and antibiotics into the feed that chickens have no other choice. It's a tragedy to what it does to your immune system, your intelligence, your brain matter development. These things aren't being propagated by science. They aren't being propagated by the industries that are making money on this. So you are the one that has to become educated. and you're the one that has to make the decisions and changes in your life, then that changes your karma. Karma is an individual thing, and karma has a collective aspect to it. If you change your individual aspect, you can influence the overall collective side as well. You definitely can affect your lot. And if you work long enough, hard enough, etc., etc., you can affect the overall lot. But we're not doing that. We're not on television explaining the dangers of meat. We're not explaining the need to cultivate the land. We're not explaining the misuse of resources. We're not looking at these things on a collective basis. You see on the television, earthquake warnings. It's not if, it's when. Together we can get through if you take care of yourself. We're seeing these kind of things that is, let's call it a mass message. But where's the mass message is telling you we're running out of fresh water? We shouldn't be eating these contaminated animals. We shouldn't be part of that. We should be cultivating more food. We're cultivating, right here in New Zealand, we're cultivating dairy products and food for export and what we require, bare minimum. That's too much is coming in now. Many of our market gardeners have been kicked out of business because of cheap crap food coming in out of Australia and other parts of the world. We don't need any of that imported food. But we've been hoodwinked into bogus free trade agreements that have ruined most of our industries, including our agriculture. So this should be stopped. We should take care of ourselves. We shouldn't be dependent on these foreign bogus foods because it's affecting our consciousness. This used to be called God Zone. This used to be the place where the people had a spiritual undertone in their whole lives. Everyone felt it was a perfect place to become realized the beauty, the purity, the cleanliness, the honesty in the people, the helpfulness and compassion and kindness was unsurpassed just 25 years ago, 30 years ago. What a magnificent place. And now it's completely shifted. Most of the young people are gone. They've left. Young and middle class people aren't even here anymore. We have mostly old people here now. And it isn't looked upon as God's zone to be protected and cared for and loved. It isn't the place to be spiritually awakened and to provide a realization to everyone else. Everyone's economically minded. And what's happening to the economics as a result? It's not getting better. It's still getting worse. So if we have some lifetime and life force energy to expend, we should be expending it on self-realization, on godly qualities, on development of ourselves and our friends and neighbors, on protecting and maintaining the purity of our environment and our land and resources. But that's out the window. I was at a seminar not long ago where they're saying the nitrogen contamination in the Waikato River is still increasing. Now, it's never gone down. So it's still increasing. For all the hoo-ha, for all the complaints and nonsense and yelling and screaming and hollering about dirty dairying, it's still going on. And some of the people that are supposedly watchdogs for the environment, they're resigned. Oh, what can you do? Well, this is the situation. We have to come to the position of realizing something can be done. However limited our ability of influence and control is, we can make positive contribution that makes things better. And the more we make one thing and another, the more it collectively builds up to actually life becomes good again. And consciousness becomes kind again. We have to recognize that we're facing difficulties in this world because of the terrible people that live on this planet now and the unreservedly horrible things that they're doing. So we should be just that much better to counteract that nonsense. But we're not being trained. Collectively as a society, we're not of one mind on anything any longer. We stood strong on no nukes, nuclear-free New Zealand. And even that's wavering. The bogus propaganda coming in about nuclear power. Well, look at Fukushima. We now know where nuclear power's at. It's a very, very dangerous issue. Nuclear power, nuclear ship, nuclear bomb, nuclear bullet, everything. It's all bad for life. Any kind, any level, any species. So why aren't we standing up? Why isn't there still marches in the streets? Why aren't we requesting political leaders that confirm they will protect our nuclear-free stance? We heard, what was that guy's name? The 10-minute leader of National Party saying, this nuclear-free policy had begun by gone by lunchtime. What an idiot. We have idiots at the top. We don't have leaders at the top. We have idiots. So you have to take control of your life, and you have to get on top of it. At the top of my life is me. And what am I doing with it? I'm looking forward to creating a positive environment around me, a positive influence by my actions, words, deeds, use of my money, etc. You have to have that mentality. This leads you, this piety, purity, and intent is the very thing that leads you to spiritual realization. It is the intent with which you do things. There's the old story. I'll give this to you. Two men are trying to decide what they're going to do. One wanted to go to a mosque and one wanted to go to a house of prostitution. They couldn't make up their minds, so they each went their own way. So what happened? The man at the mosque was sitting back and thinking about the prostitution opportunity he'd missed. And the man at the prostitution house was only thinking about he'd rather be worshiping the Lord. So who made what advancement? Which one was really right? It's the intent. The person who's thinking of becoming purified, serving the Lord, developing higher consciousness, selflessness, compassion, kindness, knowledge, education, alertness, etc. That's the one who the Lord notices and gives support to. As that song goes, the Lord loves the one that loves the Lord. The Lord helps the one that helps themselves. Your free will is the key to your emancipation. You use your free will to understand things and act responsibly. And you can change this part of life, that part of life. You can change the people around you. You can change the overall inclination of society. You can make a difference. But the difference has to come from within. You have to have the right intent. There are ignorant people that say they want to be the president or the prime minister or the blah, 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 blah. But then they criticize the person who's in. But why do they want the position? So that they can be powerful. They don't want the position so they can do good. They want the position so they can be powerful. Wrong intent. So we end up with more and more and more of these lunatics pressing, pushing, and fighting to get to a position of control. And they miscontrol everything. I mean, look at, we've just fixed, it's taken 30 years to fix this turning rule. You have to give way, you give way. No, I give way. Who gives way? I don't know. Give way. Just wait. The rule was wrong when it was installed. It countered every other driving rule on the planet. Right-hand rule, left-hand rule, didn't matter. It was wrong in every other planet's, country's road code. Yet New Zealand couldn't follow. Oh, no, we'll do it our way. We know better. We'll do it our way. Now, 25 years later, whatever it is, okay, it was wrong. We're going to fix it. And they fixed it. But we tell people, you can't smack your children. There was a petition. The people were questioned. People were questioned and voted. And they said, we want the right to smack the naughty child. No one's looking to be cruel and abuse. We're saying discipline for the betterment of the child. The Christian phrase is spare the child, spare the rod, spoil the child. And did the government change it? No. No. Bogus John Key. He has no brain. He wouldn't fix it. Oh, no, it's okay the way it is. It's okay. It is not okay. It can be used against you. Your child can go crazy and try to have you put in prison for trying to make them a good child. Stop it. Don't kill cats. Stop it. Whack. Oh, you hit me. Oh, he goes to jail. The kid wins. How insane. So this type of mismanagement and inappropriate behavior, misuse of the controlling factor, this is what's wrong everywhere. People unwilling to admit they're wrong, people unwilling to take responsibility, people unwilling to do the right thing. They're stuck on the wrong intent. So you must purify your consciousness. You must purify your mind and senses and your heart if you actually want to make a difference. And this world needs people to make a difference. But people aren't working on it. They don't care. They want to eat and be fat and play PlayStation. I know someone who can't get away from the screen. They can't do it. Watching everything. Carrying an iPhone. Can't put it down. Got another gizmo, a notepad, a laptop, the big screen, my sky. Can't put it down. Can't walk away. Can't use their intelligence, their God-given abilities, even their upbringing as a child to better their conscious position, to better their position in life, to make a positive contribution because they're crazy. By bad association and bad influence, crazy. Not able to make a positive contribution to life. We've got millions of those people on this planet. Billions. More people are like that than there are that are trying to do something good. Everybody's trying to do something for me. Taking care of number one and proud of it. This is a fool. This fool won't take care of number one. This fool will lose proper intent. He's already lost it. So he can't expect proper result. Yet he's blindly going along thinking, it'll work out. Yeah, it'll work out. I know it. It'll come right. If it doesn't, I'll force it. And we're out of the position where everybody is going, I'm going to force it. Just like we have a food shortage coming, everybody's thinking, it won't be me. Somebody else will get thin and be hungry. Not me. I'll force it. So this is the situation we have, and this is the reason that it's happening. The intent is wrong, and the decisions are being made incorrectly, and the independence is being misused, and control is desired for the wrong reasons. You must get above this mentality now, because you don't have time, you don't have a buffer zone anymore. The world, the planet, has changed. This is a serious situation.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.